Hey, Steve Bertrand, how are you, my friend?
I'm well, thank you. You joined us on the Mincing Rascals from another country.
Yeah, I am, as I also am joining you on WGN Radio from another country. We're at the Iberostar Resort in, where are we? Riviera Maya in Mexico. They said, get on a plane. When you get off, it'll be warm. I said, I'll go there. In fact, I was in my room, though, just making a few last-minute preparations for today's radio show, Steve, and then I looked up, and I had 4 minutes to get to the studio site where we are now.
Really? Come on, John. You're at a resort in Mexico. You got to get out of your room. I've been telling you this.
That's where I do my work, and then I looked up and saw that there's 4 minutes left, so I'm trotting along. And as I'm trotting along, literally alongside the pool, somebody is waving me around like a third base coach. It's Yalmer Sanchez, my new best friend.
I was just going to say.
He goes, hurry, my friend, hurry, hurry.
That is so funny.
So I dove in, you know, head first into the studio here. A lot to talk about, Steve. I know we got to get into the WGN Radio newsroom. Let's do that, and then we'll pick up the show live from Mexico on GN. Kim. All right, everybody, this is your cue. That's our cue. This is John Williams. All right, so we're just cutting right to the Mexican flavor of the show as we open day four of Socks on the Beach at the Iberostar Resort. We are in Riviera Maya in Mexico, and we've been having a really nice time meeting more and more nice people every single day. You heard my new best friend is Yalmer Sanchez, who, as I was trotting over here, is doing the third base coach wave, going, hurry, 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 and so we made it to the Thatched Hut studio just in time. If you're joining us for the first time this week, we're here in Mexico, courtesy of Apple Vacations and our friends at the Chicago White Sox, with about 130 or 150 White Sox fans and WGN Radio listeners. And again, we're in this giant thatched hut with a bunch of chairs in front of us. That's the crowd you hear. You're the crowd, by the way. And then behind them is a really nice patio area with plants and lounge chairs. It's endless. I'm talking acres of that. And then behind that is the giant swimming pool complex. It's seven pools. You may hear the water fountain in the background and people carrying on. We did the Mincing Rascals, our weekly podcast, from this spot a little while ago. And Eric Zorn said, it sounds like someone's doing aerobics in the background. And I said, because they are. They were actually playing a game where you throw the tennis ball into the hoop and they do an aerobics class. They do something that I don't go to that many resorts like this. I don't know what the protocol is, but they have an entertainment team that comes out during the day. And the entertainment team is maybe 5 or 10 young men and a few women, and they're dressed in matching shorts and shirts, and they dance to the music on the side of the pool. And they just kind of put on a show. It's really fun. And then they engage everybody in games. Okay, let's see if you can throw the football through the circle. And they just carry on. It's infectious. They're diving into the water, pushing people into the pool. It's very fun.
You know what's amazing about those people?
No.
The fact that they're working day and night into the night. Because last night we went to see We Love Pop, the 80s show.
Oh, yeah, here at this.
And
yeah.
This young lady over here with the curly hair that you see a lot was emceeing the
thing. Oh, the tall one? Oh, she was the MC, too?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about them yesterday because for some reason, I know, it was because we did our games with the Chicago crew yesterday with these people, which meant that they had to start a little earlier than normal. So now it's like 10:30 in the morning. And, you know, I could just imagine anybody, including them, you know, like, all right, now I got to muscle up some enthusiasm and, hey, we're having a party. That's their job every day. Put on not just a nice face, but a let's go face. And some days you don't feel let's go. You're like, I got to go to work again. And, you know, that's not an option for them. They are on all day long. They couldn't be nicer.
No, I agree with you 100%. They must have like some kind of optimism wall or something on the wall back here.
Oh, yeah. You mean like a sign that says, okay, give it your best?
Yeah, smile. And today's a good day. It's the sun's out.
Well, that's that's it. I think if you're from Chicago, you go, well, what would be hard about going to work every day in Mexico? We're getting a little bounce back there, Bill. But I suppose if you live and work every day in Mexico, you're like, you know, some days it's a job. But the job is to be on for people. Speaking of signs on the walls, though, and I hope this comes across correctly, because I hope you appreciate how much we appreciate this resort, the people that work here, how considerate they are, and what a nice time we're all having. The sign behind us, though, has the pool rules and regulations. Okay, you need to grab a microphone because we've covered it up today. We had to tape our own banner up there, so you can't see it where we're sitting. We can't read from it. But you see this all the time when you travel anywhere outside the United States, and sometimes in the United States, somebody will put up a sign and it'll say, here's the pool regulations, or here is some piece of information we have for you, and we're publicly posting it.
And menu items?
Yeah, right. And the
inappropriate ones?
And the grammar or the language will just be off. Just enough that you kind of chuckle. Just enough that, in my case, I think, okay, if I was running a resort and I had $1 million and millions of people and the place architecturally, everything is just laid out so perfectly, I would make sure that the English on the signs was good. Like, I'm sure it's perfect in Spanish. They're in German. Some of the stuff is in French. Did we see on the menu last night stuff was in
Russian?
Russian. So they got a lot of work to do. And then, of course, in English. Everything has to be in English as well. So here are the pool rules. Sarah, what are you reading?
Well, we can start with, I think, our favorite one. Please don't run around the pool. Floors are extremely, I would pronounce this sliperies.
But I would pronounce it sleeperies.
It's S-L-I-P-E-R-I-E-S.
Yeah. Okay, and so you get the message, please don't run around the pool. Floors are extremely slipperies, in a unique spelling of slipperies.
Maybe it's in
we
Canadian.
We get it, we get it, we get it. So the message is conveyed. There's no reason to quibble, except that the spelling and the grammar are wrong. But that's, you know, it's almost charming in a way, right? I mean, like, you know, you are not in Arizona anymore or wherever you are from the United States when you see that. Here's the one that I thought was kind of fun. We beg you to use the shower before you sung the pool.
What do you think that means?
Well, that means before going.
Using the pool.
You're supposed to shower before you go in, but we beg you to use. And you see that a lot because that's sometimes the literal translation from one language to another. You know, please can sometimes mean we beg. That's just another way to say it. And then when you translate it literally, it sometimes comes across as a little
aggressive
or awkward. The hotel is not responsible for any left or forgotten values. And that makes sense. I know exactly what you're saying. You've seen that sign before, but that's just only slightly awkward. It is forbidden to carry any glass or food. It is forbidden to carry any glass or food. You know what they're saying around the pool. There is no lifeguard in duty. Swimming is your owl responsibility.
It's responsibility.
Sability. So there's just a lot of awkward grammar and misspellings there. But again, you know, swimming is your own responsibility. They don't have lifeguards for every single corner of the complex. So you need to know that. Big exclamation point. No topless. Which many of us have observed and some of us have not.
It doesn't say no bottomless, though.
Well, hopefully you know that. Hopefully that's not necessary. So that's...
We just had an audience member wag his finger at me. Sick. It's not because I like to go bottomless.
No. So that's just some of the signage that we've seen here. And again, I don't know... You see this all the time. You see it in Europe. You see it in other parts of the world where they're needing to convey the simplest message to people that speak English, and they get the message across. But how or why they don't take the time to just grab a producer from a radio station in America and say, hey, here's what we need to say. You can't be running around the pool because it's slippery. How would you put that? And it's a phone call. It's, you know, it's funny. But yet permanently emblazoned all around the property is it in that sort of charming, awkward English that still gets the message across. So we're not going to run around the pool. This is the time of the year for lists. And I noticed that Bill and Wendy have been talking about some of them, the most googly searched things, the number one videos on YouTube. Everybody has their list of the best TV shows of the year. Metacritic has its top 20 in front of me, and I've sort of highlighted some that I think are worth noting. This would almost be like a good recommendation from the Mincing Rascals when we do it at the end of the podcast. But what would you say the Metacritic, the sort of collaborator of, not collaborator, what do you do when you aggregate, the aggregator of critic scores across the country, what TV show was judged to be the best TV show in America last year? Did you see the answer to this?
No, I didn't actually. I just copied and pasted it.
Are you? You're, I don't know if you're enough of a TV watcher to be a good one to ask. What would you guess is the best TV show of the year?
I'm guessing Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones wasn't on this year, so that doesn't make the list.
America's Funniest Home Videos.
Give me one more guess.
It would.
Then.
Yeah, sure. Something in 2018 they said was the best show of the year.
Mrs.
What was
Meisel?
The best TV show y'all watched this year? You want to shout one out to me? What's that? This Is Us was good this year. It did not make the list. The Good Doctor is sweet, isn't it? I vacillate between rolling my eyes at how ridiculous that show is and then just fully embracing it. I'm going, okay, he's a brilliant autistic doctor who's making life and death decisions. And whenever we end up watching The Good Doctor, I always end up turning to Brenda and saying, that was a good show. Or whatever, you know, I find myself adopting his sort of sing-songy or is it monotony tone, but he'll say the most, as people who are autistic sometimes will, and I mean, I know a little bit about this, my nephew is, my godson is, I know people who are autistic, and sometimes they will speak the truest truth to you, right? Like, you seem to be upset today, I'll bet it's this, you know? And so that's the doctor who is like breathtakingly candid to patients sometimes in almost inappropriate ways, and yet when it's crunch time, do we need to take the spleen? He'll say, I have an idea. And then they go, okay, we're going with the kid. He's got a brilliant idea. If Doogie Howser were autistic, that would be The Good Doctor. It didn't make the list of the top 10 shows on the Metacritic, but what a fun show. Any others? All right, I'll give you the list in a minute on WGN. 121 WGN. Hey, Bears fans, enter for your chance to win two spots on the all-inclusive Bears fan trip to Cancun at chicagotribune.com/monster giveaway, courtesy of the Chicago Tribune. Every year, it's a struggle to find the perfect gifts for young friends and family, and you find yourself shopping until the last minute, right? Here's the perfect gift for everyone on your list, Tastes of Chicago. It's easy and convenient. Tastes of Chicago ships Lou Malnati's pizzas and other culinary favorites nationwide. So whether your family or friends are near or far, they'll have delicious packages delivered to their doorstep. With a wide variety of products and packages, you'll be able to cross everyone off your list in a few easy steps by visiting Ludigo.com. Ludigo.com. You'll find something for everyone from Lou Malnati's Chicago-style deep dish pizza to sweet treats from Garrett's Popcorn, Eli's Cheesecake, and much more. This year, enjoy the holiday season. Get your holiday shopping done fast by calling 1-800-LU-TO-GO. Call now, 1-800-LU-TO-GO. Or order online 24/7 at ludigo.com. It's 122 on WGN. By the way, Violetta, Steve, we weren't able to hear you here earlier if you were trying to say hi, but you sure could now.
Oh,
Violetta,
we were,
are you sitting there? Steve, are you sitting there?
We were funny. Yeah. We were informative.
And Steve intercom, he goes, I don't think he can hear us. I'm like, oh, he's not ignoring just me?
I didn't tell it right away because it was kind of fun to listen to.
Violetta, you're kind of used to that. Sometimes you chime in.
Yeah, yeah, that's why I thought, I didn't think anything of it. And Steve's like, people normally respond.
Yeah, I do. You're thinking of Ro Khan. Ro will ignore or belittle you, but I think I embrace the Violetta in our show.
Namaste.
So, the number one TV show, what would you guess, V?
I said America's Funniest Home Videos, which I'll say again.
Okay, that's not on the list.
Okay, well,
number
it was
one
funnier
was
the first time.
Everybody in America heard it, but the host. Go ahead.
You know
Steve.
Me, I like The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
You know, we're going to start watching that. That's number 17 on the Metacritic list.
Oh, good for
the
them.
Amazon product. And you know why we haven't seen it yet, Steve? Because it's on Amazon. And Griffin said to my wife the other day, Brenda, his mom, he says, oh, you have Amazon Prime. Brenda said, yeah. He said, well, you could be watching the Amazon Prime, the Amazon shows. we didn't really understand all of that.
John, there's some great shows on Amazon. Also, you would like The
Homecoming.
Patriot.
Patriot?
Yeah.
I'm just looking at some of the shows from this list.
You just have to sign on your smart TV.
Well, that you just said like three things that I don't know what they are, but a few clicks away, and then all of a sudden we're watching Amazon at home and had that opportunity all along. Didn't know it.
So, Steve, did it make you happy that I said The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on your behalf?
Yes, thank you very much.
Well, we stopped listening to you guys since you weren't listening to us.
The number one TV show, according to Metacritic, is Killing Eve, the BBC America show with Sandra Oh as a security op, and this woman named Jodie Comer, who is the assassin. And it's a show about Sandra Oh trying to track down this bad, crazy assassin named, I'm not sure what her name is, but Sandra Oh plays the character called Eve. And it's about the attempt by the assassin to kill various people, maybe including Eve, killing Eve. It's a really good show. I was transfixed by it, maybe because I think this Jodie Comer girl, the assassin, was just so chilling. That was the number one show. And I would put that on my list of the best shows I saw this year as well. Then Atlanta on FX, The Americans on FX. We watched that at my house. Brenda, I know, loved it. The Good Place, Ms. Garris, The
you
Good
know
Place
I support that.
Is number four on the list. And that's a, you know, traditional network show. That's NBC with one of the most creative shows you'll see on network television.
I thought it would be way lower on the list.
It's surprising to me, too. Networks don't normally get, in fact, that is the only major network show. You know, ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. That's the only one that's there. So The Good Place is number four. Pose, P-O-S-E, on FX. I presume that's FX, not Fox, is number five. Barry from HBO is
with
number six. Bill Hader.
You look like him. Yeah, that's it. Bill Hader.
I was going to say Henry Winkler, but I'll go with, if I have to pick one, Bill Hader.
The Barry is a very good show.
It is, of all the TV shows this year, it's in my top five. And I don't think anybody watched Barry from HBO. Did you guys watch Barry? You did. Did
Bob
you guys
did.
Like it? Bob didn't like it? You did. Here's the premise for it in a sentence. A hitman from the Midwest moves to L.A. and gets caught up in the city's theater arts scene. Bill Hader is, this show can be startlingly violent, right? Especially at times where early in the series, he's just killing people. And you're just like, holy crikey. Whew. And you all like Bill Hader. He's a nice, fun, funny guy. He's affable. He's a killer. Then he goes to L.A., and Henry Winkler is his...
Acting coach. Right, he kind of gets the acting bug.
Yeah, and so it's just really bizarre and good. The show's called Barry. Next on the list, after Barry, The Good Fight, CBS All Access, Sharp Objects from HBO, which made my list, Amy Adams, Patricia Clarkson... Eliza Scanlon is the reason to watch that show. She's the roller skating trippy sister. It's based on the novel, and that's on my list, Sharp Objects. I'll just get you the rest of the list in a minute. We'll pause here. Steve's going to update you on WGN Radio News. That's next.
We're broadcasting live from my Birostar Paraíso Lindo in Riviera Maya for Socks on the Beach with Apple Vacations and the Chicago White Sox.
Why we haven't had you do that every single time is
beyond
me.
I dare you to say it five times fast.
I can't. I've tried for 5 days. I've gotten it wrong, and I'm glad you are here, Sarah. Here's exciting news for knees everywhere. The Joint Relief Institute in Orland Park's got a new location in Oak Brook, too. Yay, said knees everywhere. You know they're in Orland Park, but now they're in Oak Brook, too. It's the same number. Listen, if you're planning on doing some traveling during the holidays, maybe your insurance is set up so you should spend some money now. Either way, I want you to go to their website or call their phone number and get your knee pain addressed. Your insurance almost surely pays for it. It's painless. It's outpatient. It's a non-surgical procedure. You're in and out. Literally, some of the people that go to get their knees treated at the Joint Relief Institute leave their cars running in the parking lot. I'm not recommending that, but It really is a quick treatment. And yet, the digital imaging they use enables them to see exactly where your knee is compromised, and they're better at it. They see that spot. They're so careful about getting the joint lubricant into the right spot, and your pain goes away. Call this number. Ready? It's, let's see if we can all remember it together. 708, that's Orland Park, 888-0000, as in zero pain. Either location, it's the same phone number, 708-888-0000. The last of the list, and some of your texts about him, too, after WGN Radio News. Thank you, Steve. Cascade, cascade, Sunday cascade. Are we clapping to this? Okay, I can do that. I can't do the words. We are at the Iberostar Resort in Riviera Maya in Mexico. All right, put your hands together like you mean it. Whoa, 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 whoa. Bunch of White Sox fans and WGN radio listeners, and yes, that can be the same thing, are all in our thatched broadcast hut poolside in Mexico. We're having a great time down here. We were supposed to visit today, I think, with one of the White Sox players. Maybe it was Nicky. Nicky moved to Wednesday, and then Yolmer said, hey, if he's going to be on, can I be on with him too? And so we said, okay. And then I was walking by the pool today and figured since Sanchez has his ticket punched, he doesn't have to come on a second time. And he waves to me, three. I will come on at three today. I will come on at three. I go, Yolmer, no, you've done enough. We're still recovering from the I pooped my pants story yesterday anyway. So...
I think he likes us.
I think he does. I mean, I think he likes everybody. You really do get that vibe from him. But like, as I'm trotting around the pool area and just doing my work, coming and going, he's looking for me, waving, hey, hey. And I'm thinking, I thought you guys would be hiding from us, schlubs. And he's looking for friends, you know?
Yeah.
Mr. Ron Kittle is still here, and I think Yolmer and Ron will join us on Friday for our last broadcast at Sox on the Beach because they want to, not because they have to. We're talking about the... And by the way, just one other note about this, and V and Steve, Aleph, I don't know if you guys would think about it this way. Here at WGN Radio, we're relatively new to the White Sox. For years, we were the Cubs station. What was their year? We didn't have a team, and now we've got the White Sox. So we're kind of learning this team all over again on WGN. But what franchise in town would make their players this available or their staff this available, and they would be this fun? Like the Blackhawks are the marquee franchise in the city, right? The team's doing terrible, but that's just a well-run organization. But hockey players mumble. Hockey players just say, oh, you know, we're trying to do our best. And that's an interview with a hockey player. Can you think of somebody else whose players you imagine would be as much fun as these guys have been? I can't. Right?
I agree with you about the mumbling.
And the Bears? I don't know those players. Maybe the Trubisky would be fun to talk to. I don't know. Are they as chatty as these guys have been? God bless the Cubs. I mean, they're the stars of this city. They own Chicago, but I don't know that Chris Bryant would be as much fun as the guys have been down here. So I just, you know, I'm just props to them. Well, we're all having a good time with them, and we appreciate their enthusiasm for all that we're doing with the fans.
I just want to add that, Violetta, I did hear your comments.
Yeah,
so
what did you say, V?
Good
we're
job.
Not ignoring you. Are you there?
I am. I am.
We can hardly hear you, V. Speak up, girl, or I'll turn you up on our end.
Hello. Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I don't remember what I said. What did I say? Oh, I said I'm sorry.
Sorry.
Because you're talking about the Canadians.
Oh, yeah, that's...
But when you have to explain a joke, I've been told it's not funny anymore, so never mind.
Nah, well, you're right about that, but when they can't hear it, that's not on you. So let's just go back to this list, the Metacritic list of the top TV shows for the year. Among our texts, somebody said from 630, my husband and I loved Barry. So does Nick DiGilio. Well, that's good company. 630 said, Better Call Saul has moved away from the shadow of Breaking Bad, too. I think that's well put because it has exactly done that. Better Call Saul is number 10 on the Metacritic list of the best TV shows of the year. And that's in my personal top five as well. Bob Odenkirk, Rhea Seehorn. It's the story of, Jimmy McGill, the attorney that you first met in Breaking Bad, on why and how he badly broke. I mean, if he was the attorney on Breaking Bad, how did he get there? You know, he seems like such a nice, goofy guy who's in with the wrong crowd. Well, this story, Better Call Saul, tells you about that. And it's really good. And in fact, what's his nickname or what's his name on the show? They ended one of the last episodes with a real good explanatory sort of pun for why his name is what it is on the show. And now I'm spacing on it. John Violetta's America's Funniest Home Videos joke was brilliant and underappreciated. Sad, said 815. There's one for you, V. Better Call Saul. Number 15 on the list is The Haunting of Hill House. And I just wanted to mention that one as well. I think we all kind of watched that this year. One way or another heard about it. The Haunting of Hill House is about a family that returns to their childhood home, and they resolve issues facing the terror that drove them away from the home. So it's a haunted house. What happened then? It's a bunch of flashbacks and current time scenes. Timothy Hutton is the father. It's so interesting to see him again. And he was just really, really good. So those are my five. My five top shows of the year were The Haunting of Hill House. These are all on their list as well. Better Call Saul at number 10. Sharp Objects at number 8. Barry is number 6 on their list. And Killing Eve worked for me. It's 1:42 on WGN. We'll take a break here. I want to do a different topic when we come back. And that is the story that the Chicago Tribune has been doing for the last few days about security guards, who they are, why they are, and what they're doing. Security guards. In a minute on WGN. If you are carrying a mortgage into your retirement years, you're retired, you're still making a mortgage payment, listen to this. According to the USA Today, retirees carrying a mortgage balance has grown substantially. Of households headed by someone who's between 65 and 74, a third or more are still making a mortgage payment every month. And of households headed by someone 75 and older, one in four are still in housing debt. That's according to a federal survey. Carrying these balances can cause retirees to use their retirement funds for mortgage payments. And that can result in tax burdens, and now you got less money to spend. Financial experts in the article warn retirees with savings, investment, or retirement funds to think twice before using that money to pay their mortgage down, as it could leave them without money for emergencies and other expenses. Well, that makes sense. If you are at least 61 and a half and would like to learn how a reverse mortgage would let you take the money out of your home for those expenses, call Team Hochberg now at 312-751-1333. 312-751-1333 for a free consultation. Team Hochberg has helped thousands of GN listeners. They can't help you if you don't call. 312-751-1333 or visit WGNDavid.com. Pearl Mortgage is an equal housing lender, an Illinois residential mortgage licensee, 4358. Their NMLS ID number is... You guys remember what their NMLS ID number is? We should make that a trivia question to give a prize someday, because I have read this commercial so many times. You are close, but you do not win a pizza. It's 19186 is the NMLS ID number. Okay, go.
And we're broadcasting live from Iberostar Paraíso Lindo in Riviera Maya for Socks on the Beach with Apple Vacations and the Chicago White Sox.
About players who would be fun to talk to from the Cubs, John, Javi Baez would be fun. I think they're right about that. John, don't forget Barry has some Asperger's symptoms, which makes it funnier as he's learning how to show emotion in class. Oh, I didn't remember that was part of his character. Slipping Jimmy, Saul would slip and sue people. Saul Goodman, it's Saul. Oh, yeah, Saul, it's all good. That was it. That was it. In the last episode, he explained Saul Goodman. It's all good, man. Yeah, thank you for that. John, it won't make the national list, but my husband and I love Pat Tomasulo's Man of the People. I haven't watched that. Lord knows we promoted it, but good. I'm glad that it is good. So here's the Chicago Tribune story. It's been a couple of days now, and online you're, of course, able to watch video, but it's about the Illinois Department of Well, it's about security guards. There have been a couple of instances, they have the video, of where security guards shoot people, and sometimes it's because it's not because the person needs to be shot. In one instance, in Oak Brook, a guy went to rob a jewelry store. He smashes the glass, and just then the guard picks up his 357 Magnum, points it at the guy, and says, "Freeze." And the guy says, "Okay, I do not want to get shot." He lays down in the center of the store on his stomach, puts his hands behind his back, and the guard walks over and shoots him in the leg. In another video they show, a woman, I don't know if she was robbing a liquor store or not, maybe she was, but she's in the back of a vehicle that's speeding through the parking lot. The security guards run out into the parking lot, and as the vehicle drives by, they just open fire. You can see the red flares from the end of their guns as they're shooting into the car. It makes a left turn and continues down the street, and they're still firing at her, like on a TV show, as the vehicle speeds away. I don't know what the crime was, stealing some booze, but can you imagine the cops running out into the parking lot, shooting at the car? Now, the cops said, the security guards said, well, the vehicle was coming at us. We had to do it to protect ourselves. A, the vehicle wasn't. You can see in the video that it was speeding through the parking lot, maybe, but it wasn't coming at them. They were off to the side. And after it goes by them, makes a left turn, I'll bet if you're a security guard, you're ticked. But that still doesn't, I don't think that means you need to or have the right to fire bullets out into the traffic, into the street at them. And so the story goes on to talk about how many people are security guards in America now. It's 1 million people. And how lax the licensing is for those people. The security guards are not the bad guys. Maybe in these instances, they made bad decisions. And I do believe there should be more oversight. But one of the things I was thinking about when I'm reading this story is when I go to a place where there's security guards, at a movie theater or a mall or a hotel, a lot of times it looks to me like people who are not former cops or current cops. I don't know how good their professional training is. A lot of them don't look super fit. And I usually have the impression that if some bad thing were about to break out, I don't expect them to intervene, right? Like if somebody's stealing from the liquor store or the jewelry store, I don't think these people are getting paid enough to put themselves in harm's way. Elif looked up what the average security guard pay is. And it was, what was it? It was like
$13.20
an hour. And you know what I'm talking about, right? Some of them are men and women of various ages, often young. It looks like a job for them, but it doesn't look like they're the best trained people. Well, the story in the Tribune goes on to talk about the training that they're required to have, 20 hours. If they are going to be able to carry a firearm, it's 40 hours, 20 hours of which have to include firearm training. But that doesn't sound like a lot. Barbers in the state of Illinois are required to have more training than security guards who carry guns. If you're a cop, you go to the academy for 6 months, and then for 3 months, you're trained on the scene. So that's 9 months. But a security guard with a gun at the mall guarding your liquor or jewelry requires maybe 40 hours. And it just seems to be not a very well-managed department. One last point about all of this. In the story, they say that as many as 1,500 of them in Illinois, the security guards themselves have been charged with crimes, some of them serious offenses, including armed robbery. And now those are the people with the guns guarding the jewelry store. So nobody's minding the department very well that oversees this. And they say, well, we've got a lot of things that we need to manage. I don't know what your takeaway from this is, but as I'm reading the story, I feel kind of bad for security guards. But I think in this day and age, too, I don't know if we're paranoid or what, but it seems like there's a greater call for security. Like, all right, let's get the security guards on the scene here. We'll hire more people to do it. But they aren't especially well-trained. They aren't especially well paid. One last observation about this, and that is, and this is in my back of my mind a lot when I think about people with guns, the idea that people with guns will guard teachers and students in schools. Say, all right, we'll hire one of these security firms to manage security at the school. We'll get a security firm to come in and do it. It could be one of these organizations. They're licensed by the state. They're armed. They're going to watch out for the kids. I don't have a lot of confidence in them. I don't have a lot of confidence in that scene at all. Personally, I don't want guns in schools under any circumstances, by the good guys or the bad guys. And the idea that you would hire a security firm to do it, and there's a panic, and it's somebody making $13 an hour, and their heart is racing, and in this case, the guy's down on his stomach in the jewelry store, and they, the guard just comes over, and he shoots him. And the guy that got shot then, the jewelry thief, and I know, you shouldn't try and steal Rolexes. So he's lying on his stomach on the floor in the jewelry store with his hands behind his back. The guard comes over and shoots him in the leg. The guy looks up at him and he says, "Dude, why did you shoot me? Call an ambulance." The ambulance shows up and the cops question everybody, and then they all lie about what happened. It reminds you of the McDonald case where they say, "Well, he came after us." And the video belies that. That's not what happened at all. Your thoughts or observations, you can call or text. We'll break right now. 312-981-7200, WGN. I'm up, the voice in my ear just said. It's 156 on WGN. By the way, not to stir some sort of, I don't know what it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be a controversy. But Nikki Delmonico from the White Sox is here with us on Sox on the Beach. We're at Riviera Maya at the Iberostar Resort here. And the White Sox are here. Three of the current players, plus Daryl Boston, the, assistant hitting coach? And, he's the first base coach for the White Sox. And then Ron Kittle as well. So we're having a great time with these guys. We were playing wiffle ball yesterday, and Nikki Delmonico on Instagram posted a video of us playing wiffle ball, and Bryce Harper commented back and said something like, "Well, that's the way it ought to be." Yeah. Now, I want to read a lot into that. That, to me, means Bryce wants to play for the White Sox. And Nikki is showing him how much fun we're having here. So if we get Bryce Harper, don't you guys think that's what that's all about? And don't you think we'll get to take some credit for it if that goes down? If Bryce comes here and we win the World Series, they're going to go, "How'd that happen?" And we're going to say, the crew from Chicago made that happen while we were all in Mexico, thanks to the Insta video that Nikki posted. John, I don't know if they had weapons or not. But so Joe Brand is at the winter meetings for MLB. He's going to drop in with us a little later on after the 2 o'clock edition of WGN Radio News. John, I don't know if they had weapons or not, but this security guard at a Target almost ran my mother over yesterday trying to get to a shoplifter. That's the other thing. Those stories about the security guards will chase people into the parking lot. Say you're a Target security guard. You shouldn't let people steal. But here again, I'm not sure if it's worth it. Like, don't the department stores have rules and regs? You would think they would say something like, if you see somebody stealing something, don't put yourself in harm's way. Don't put other customers in harm's way. If they've got a, I don't know what people steal from Target anymore, but if they've got it, let them have it.
I used to work at different retail stores, clothing stores is what I was trying to say. And we were never allowed to leave the store no matter what. I mean, unless it was something benign, like someone forgot their gloves or something.
Right.
And yeah, it was a safety precaution because you don't want to, what if they have a weapon or don't want to get attacked.
Right. And I know you don't want to set up a thing like we're an easy mark. The security guards won't do it. Here, I think this number is fascinating. The number of working guards nationwide last year reached 1.1 million people. That's one in 300 Americans is now a security guard guarding the other 299 of us to keep us from doing something. A million of us are now security guards, double the total of police officers. We have twice as many poorly paid security guards as we do well-paid police officers in the country.
I wonder what that number was before the September 11th attacks.
I was trying to think, Steve, you probably put your finger on it. Why does it seem like we have so much more of that? And it must be post 9/11.
I think,
right?
A lot of people made a lot of money on that. You know, they started selling security services. And
don't you think there's money to be made in that field? It's 2 o'clock. All right, thank you, Steve Bertrand. Steve's going to do the news here. I'm going to read. Oh, I got to read this first. I got to read this first here, Ms. Garris. Okay, and then we'll do the news in 60 seconds. The holiday season is approaching, and for many, it worsens the symptoms of depression and anxiety they may feel. Here's a message of hope for those suffering from depression and anxiety. Highly esteemed anesthesiologist Dr. Bal Nandra uses ketamine to treat major depression. Ketamine was developed over 50 years ago as an anesthetic. By blocking the brain's NMDA receptor, it's effective in rapidly relieving depression and chronic pain. By improving nerve pathways in your brain, it can provide long-term relief from treatment-resistant depression, anxiety, and PTSD. It's been considered one of the greatest advancements in mental health in 50 years. In fact, top hospital, Cleveland Clinic, ranked it among the top 10 medical innovations of 2017. Ketamine treatments can reduce or eliminate your antidepressant meds and their unwanted side effects, too. Treatment involves 6 IV infusions over 2 weeks in a private monitored setting. Patients describe feeling better in days, sometimes hours. Schedule your free consultation. Call 844-9-IV-MEDS, 844-9-IV-MEDS, or visit KetamineChicago.com, K-E-T-A-M-I-N-E, KetamineChicago.com. Okay, here are the sounds that matter. The top 5 at 5 from The Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. All right, sing it home if you know the words. All together now. You're doing it in English, ma'am. You need to do it in Spanish. All right, now it's time to kiss Sarah in 3, 2, 1.
We're broadcasting live from Iberostar Paraíso Lindo in Riviera Maya. 4 socks on the beach with Apple Vacations and Chicago White Sox.
I don't know if we heard on the radio what you just said. Do the part where we thank our sponsors again.
We are in the Iberostar Paraíso Lindo in Riviera Maya for Socks on the Beach, thanks to Apple Vacations with our fabulous friends, the Chicago White Sox.
We are roughing it here today. The surf is so high, there is no snorkeling, there is no kayaking, there is no catamaraning, there is no even parasailing because the surf is up a little bit. You can still, but they say, but you can swim in the water, which I thought was kind of a funny decision on their part, but I embrace that because I like to go in the water. And why are you here but for the surf and the sun? So you can go into the water, but there's no snorkeling allowed today because of the boats and so on and so forth. The harbor master makes the decision for all of the properties in this area. So it's not a shack by shack or resort by resort decision. There is somebody who is municipally in charge of this part of the ocean stretch. And they said there will be no activities going out into the ocean, at least here. But maybe over in Cozumel, or further north and south, that's possible. But in this area of the bay, you can't do it. And so we're adhering to that. But the beach is fun today. I mean, the surf is up, and we've got a nice breeze. It's more humid in Mexico today. But when I got up this morning and sort of slid open my door and took in a little more warmer, humid air, I thought, that's what I came here for. Because what night was it that it was just a little too chilly? Was that last night or 2 nights ago?
Yeah.
I did not have long sleeves, and I thought, why didn't I think to pack long sleeves? But
me too.
Move on.
Oh, are you listening to this?
Yeah.
Pound sand.
Oh, and by the way, Steve, just so you know, I don't know what it was at your house, Steve, but today was manta ray day for the towels. All of our towels on our beds. Well, maybe not everybody. Maybe you had different animals. Mine was folded into a... in fact, I walked into the room as the lady was finishing up my room. And I said, oh, I want to watch you do the towel. I said, what is it? She said, Mantarea. And I said, manta ray? She goes, yes. And then like, she did it. And it was the most amazing thing. We should. I know you posted a video, Sarah, of one of the... is that in our gallery?
On. Ooh,
there you go.
It was on our Instagram. I do have the video, so I'll post it. We'll get it up on our website.
Can I just say, you sure do know how to have fun on a vacation.
Wait a minute. This is not vacation.
You're talking about the towel folding. You're reading the warning signs.
But it's all all part of the fun.
I believe that's information that our listeners need, Steve.
Do you?
It's news and information here.
I mean, you should be finding the best margarita or something like that.
Yeah.
Sampling tequilas. No, I have this feeling that you're reading like a Raymond Chandler novel at 8 o'clock at night in your room.
I have been doing a lot of reading in my room. But hey, you get to do whatever you want on vacation.
You're right.
If you want to read.
My dad has always just stayed in the hotel and watched TV. And we're like, can you get out and do something? He's like, I don't get to sit at home and watch TV ever. And this is what I want to do. I'm like,
yeah, no kidding.
And actually, we'll go without you.
Well, I think it's sort of like when we do The Bright Side, no judging other people's happiness.
I know, he'd have so much, he'd even close the blinds. I'm like, that's weird.
There are not that many instances, I'll bet Steve can understand this, where I'm not with my dog, my kids, my wife, or my boss, right? Like, literally, I'm removed from it all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have many days like that a year. I love my boss, my wife, my dogs, and my kids. Not necessarily in that order.
go ahead. Give us an order.
Oh, Brenda's first. I promise you that.
Okay, let's stop there.
I hope my kids aren't listening. But it's kind of nice. So I've been reading and going to the beach. Even it's like, did you ever go to Lollapalooza with friends? And every time you go, I want to go to a different stage, you kind of got to negotiate it with them. And it's too bad because you want to hear this and they want to hear that. And you think, it'd be more fun if I was just doing this by myself.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're by yourself. So how much fun is that?
Okay, you're right. I take it back. But just promise me you haven't tried to fold a towel like an animal.
I wanted to do that. I was going to say to the woman that was doing my towel, would you show that to me? But where she could do it in 45 seconds, I would still be there right now. Learning how to fold the towel, but it's a talent.
What was it today? An iguana?
No, it was the manta ray, manta rea, and they've done swans,
octopus. Did you have the octopus yesterday?
I think I did. Now that you mention it.
So we noticed that I had a different octopus than Elif's octopus. So I'm kind of curious as to what your octopus looked like.
I'm uncomfortable answering that, but it. It looked like an octopus. It had some arms and a head, and it looked like an octopus.
Mine looked like it was kneeling, and Elif's looked like it was...
Had given up on life.
No, I would say yours looked more like it was doing octopus-type things.
Yeah, like capturing an item or something.
Yeah.
By the way, Joe Brand is not here, but he's in a far-flung and remote and warm location, too, from WGN Radio Sports. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Well, I'm a lot more relieved now. I heard about your unfortunate day with no snorkeling or parasailing. Thank God it was salvaged by Manta Ray Towel Day.
Excuse me, I'm just taking a sip of a beverage there. Well, Joe, it's but it's been work. I mean, you know, we've been thinking big thoughts so that our listeners don't have to and passing them along. And one of the things we asked you to do is just file a report from the Major League Baseball meetings. You're in Vegas still, right, or are you on your way back now?
Yeah, still here. It's the final day. Everything's pretty much wrapped up now. They're actually just taking down signs and just closing up shop pretty much.
What happens at the winter meetings, Joe?
There's a lot of people, a lot of baseball people. Actually, the funny thing is there's also a rodeo convention going on in the Mandalay Bay Resort as well. So you've got two totally contrasting people walking around the casino. You've got cowboys and baseball bigwigs, you know, in the next urinal next to each other at the restroom. So it's a whole collage of different personalities. But, you know, each manager spoke throughout the past 3 days from every team. General managers are pretty much available typically every day to the local media, but also available to everyone else as well. Obviously, great news in the White Sox front with Harold Baines being one of the newest inductees into the Hall of Fame on Monday. Lee Smith, the other one, another Chicago connection. So, I mean, it's just basically 4 full days jam-packed with baseball. And, of course, you've got everyone trying to trade or sign a free agent. And, of course, that's been consumed by the Bryce Harper mania that's kind of taken this whole city by storm.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, so you just shared with me, and I want to stir up a little interest here, a little buzz. But Nicky Delmonico and Bryce Harper were trading posts on Instagram. Is that right?
That's right, yeah. And it was your wiffle ball game on the Instagram video, and Bryce Harper's the one who commented. Social media shot right to it. I think there's already over 100 comments on that comment from Bryce Harper saying, come to the South Side, and you can do this all the time, maybe not on a beach, but at least play with Nicky Delmonico. And, yeah, I mean, I'd love to know if they have any type of relationship, if maybe he's somewhat of a pitch to bring him over on the South Side.
Does that happen sometimes, do you think, that it's not just salary and city and blah, 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 but it's I like those guys on that team or it's some of my friends? Well, that's the case Chris Bryant, too, because isn't Chris Bryant kind of palsy with Bryce Harper as well, right?
Correct. Yeah, they're both from Las Vegas. Chris Bryant's actually here recently. We just saw him the other day in the hotel. And the two were also spotted at the Vegas Knights Blackhawks game last week. So that's kind of what has always kept the Cubs in rumors that Bryce Harper would land over at Wrigley, because he's somewhat of a childhood friend of Chris Bryant, and they've kept in good touch and good terms. I know their wives are very good friends with each other. I'm pretty sure Bryce Harper's dog's name is Wrigley. But these past 3 days has all been about Bryce Harper looking like he's going to become a Chicago White Sox outfielder. And granted, they are rumors, they are talked about, but they're very consistent. And a lot of the big baseball names who break these stories are all coming to the consensus that the White Sox are the front runner. And John, the past two days, Rick Hahn, the White Sox general manager, and Ricky Renteria, the manager, have had nothing but smiling faces and optimistic views about their pitch for the White Sox. I mean, money aside, as again, the White Sox are the front runner.
They got $350 million to throw at him, you think?
I think so. I think if they're willing to spend it, it's going to be an okay effort. It sounds like Jerry Reinsdorf is on board. And, you know, this goes back to a couple years ago when they decided to go to the rebuild, and everyone thought there's no way Jerry Reinsdorf would agree to something like this. Then there was no thought he would agree to making a trade with the Chicago Cubs to get better, but that happened last year with Jose Quintana coming to the North Side. So I don't see where Jerry Reinsdorf slams his fist down and says, no, we can't spend too much money here, because he wants a world championship just as bad as everyone else. So right now, all these signs are pointing to the White Sox, it looks like.
Okay, here's what we do, Joe Brand. We get a puppy. We name it Guaranteed Rate. And we send it to Bryce Harper so that, you know, if he's got a dog already named Wrigley, we'd kind of balance it out. Here, Guaranteed Rate. Come on, boy. Come on, boy. What's your dog's name? It's Guaranteed Rate. I call him Guaranteed for short, but it's my dog. That'd be nice.
You got to make sure it's a faster dog, though, and just a more playful dog. It needs to be better, right?
Right. A better dog than the one that the North Side would offer. Well, do you think that Harper would want to go to a big city, and if so, would the North Side be just as attractive to him as the South Side? And are the Cubs, aren't they kind of top heavy anyway? Would they have that kind of money to spend if we were competing with the Cubs?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the Cubs have so many handcuffs in this situation. Their outfield is loaded, or is overflowing already as it is, and the fact that the majority of the contracts they're dealing with are coming from the outfield as well, Jason Hayward being example number one. So it makes it very difficult. The Cubs would have to get extremely creative, and I said a couple days ago, you know, don't hold Theo Epstein back from doing anything. We know how creative he can be. We know how persuasive he can be, but there are just so many things not working in the Cubs' favor for this to happen, and that's the other thing, John. They have to make the move. They have to make sure all these ducks are in a row before they can actually make that pitch to Bryce Harper, because they don't know where all their money's going to be. Now, granted, yes, the Cubs are still probably the top dog in the city over the White Sox. They make a heck of a lot of money, especially with everything that's going on in Wrigley, but there's still a luxury tax to be involved. There's still a lot of things that the Cubs need to get in order to make a stronger push than the White Sox have the ability to sign Bryce Harper.
Yeah. Well, good luck to them. You know, if I had $1 billion, the last thing I would do would be give 350 million of them to a 20-something to play baseball. But I'm not a baseball owner, so I just can't understand that.
Could John, you set aside $1,000 for a new dog?
$1,000 for a new dog? Yes.
We said it's got to be better. It's got to be faster. It's got to be more playful. We need a hybrid.
What would that be? What kind of dog would that be? Would it be like a Cocker Spaniel? Would it be a Golden Retriever? I know pit
dogs
bulls are
like cars
kind of popular
to me. I only
days.
Know dogs are like cars to me. I only know which one I have.
And what is that?
Australian Shepherd.
Australian Shepherd.
Talking about the car, Ford Flex.
No, I'm talking about the dog. Maybe he wants a wiener dog. I've got some wiener dogs I'm always trying to unload. Maybe he wants to adopt Daisy, our dizzy dappled dachshund. But Brenda wouldn't allow that, so strike that from the record. All right, Joe Brand is in Vegas covering the winter meetings and chiming in for us here. Well, thanks for noticing the exchange on Instagram between Harper and Nikki, and you know, jump in here if anything else is going on, okay, Joe?
All right, appreciate that, John. Try to make it still a good day without any snorkeling or parasailing today.
Hey, am I going to see you on Saturday? Let's see, I'm going to be traveling Saturday, but we'll see you on some Saturday soon back in the studios, okay?
Okay, sounds good to me.
Joe Brand, WGN Sports, along with Griffin Filipich, produces the Saturday show. And Domati Pongo joins us on the news side for our Saturday show. 223, back in a minute, WGN. My turn? Good. 226 on WGN. By the way, does investing in the stock market scare you? It shouldn't. Learn the basics. Investing 101. That's tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9. The right healthcare matters. Riverside Healthcare, the award-winning health system, serves communities just south of the south suburbs. From heart care and neurosurgery to cancer care and orthopedics, Riverside also offers a variety of primary and specialty care providers in locations throughout the region. Riverside offers just the right care for you, the kids, the whole family. When and where you need it most, because convenience matters too. Visit riversidehealthcare.org for locations, services, to schedule an appointment and more. Riverside Healthcare is putting well within reach. A text is just poured in. It's from Violetta Padromedic. It reads, quote, "Looks like a lot of fun. I looked through your pictures on the website. Also, Nikki Delmonico is there. Are you interviewing him?"
Well, I saw that he was playing wiffle ball on the beach because I follow him on Twitter.
Yeah.
And then I also saw him in your photo gallery. And I was just wondering if he's going to be around.
Yeah. Well, he is, but you're not. So
I know, but
that.
I can still talk to him.
There was a conversation yesterday between... I think LF and Sarah and Sarah's mom.
No, there wasn't.
About who was the dreamiest.
He seems like a really nice boy.
Who was the dreamiest of the Sox players that are here? And one's just as dreamy as the next, if you ask me. But I believe you were going with Nikki, and I believe LF was going with Yolmer. And so there was a bit of a debate. Food was thrown. Bottles of wine were tossed. It got ugly.
I think I prefer to call him Nick, though. Does he like Nikki?
Well, I'll pass
it's
that
Nikki.
Along. In fact, I'll mention it to his girlfriend when I see him.
Oh, she's there?
Tell him, yeah, she's...
Give
she's
her my best.
She's kind of here.
He'll mention that to his girlfriend, and Yolmer's wife might hear it.
I have something to say about it, too.
Yeah.
By the way, Nikki Delmonico's girlfriend, I don't mean to make too much out of the relationship. I don't know much about them, although she's traveling with him and seems like a delightful lady. But she is a professional dancer and was on So You Think You Can Dance, right?
She was in Step Up. I kind of went through her IMDb last night after our
just trying to figure out what the competition is. Is that what it is here?
Yeah. No, now I'm a fan of hers. What's her name?
In case Yolmer does not decide to go with Elif, then maybe Nikki. So you checked out the competition.
And, yeah, I would never match up, so.
Oh, no, no, no. It's not like that. But she's a very accomplished young lady and makes a living dancing, I guess, huh? Which isn't an easy thing to do when you think about it.
Oh, I found her. They're a very attractive couple.
Oh, they're adorable. They're adorable. She's really sweet. Really nice young lady, as are all of the family members that are traveling with the guys. You know, it's a lot of fun.
Yolmer. He's your favorite person.
Well, Ron, all of them have been just as fun as the next. All right, it's 2:29. You know, it's funny, though, talking to Joe Brand as we were about, you know, I don't know how remote or realistic the possibility is that Bryce Harper would come to Chicago, but he was talking about how you would negotiate a deal with a guy who is going to need well over $300 million. Isn't that just insane? That's a gross national product of some places to play baseball for Chicago. Well, I'm reading this book called The Agent. It's the Lee Steinberg story. And he's the super agent that has negotiated some of the richest contracts in sports history. And in fact, when he did for Steve Young, quarterback, negotiate the richest quarterback contract, not just in football, but in all sports history. It was the richest contract ever. It was so rich that Dan Rather that night led the CBS Evening News with the details of this contract. That was the top story in America that day. And he talks about how they got that deal done. And it's worth retelling. Lee is going to be in our studio in Chicago on Monday. It's a fundraiser, if you will, for the Salvation Army. We're inviting you to join us in studio and watch him chat with us. He's got nice things to say about the Salvation Army. For $50, you come into the studio, we talk to the original Jerry Maguire, and we cater a luncheon. Does that sound like fun? Details for that are at WGNradio.com. I hope you join us for that. Make that donation if you can. Details at WGNradio.com, and I'll tell one of his stories out of school in a minute. We'll do the news first. That's next on WGN.
We're broadcasting live from my Iberostar Isolindo in Riviera Maya for Socks on the Beach with Apple Vacations and the Chicago White Sox.
All right, guys, now we all cheer. Our crowd of WGN listeners and White Sox fans are here. And also, I just want to welcome a special guest who is sitting next to me right now. Her name is Daria Keskin. Hi, Daria. How are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Who do you know on the staff?
Elif. She's my cousin.
Elif. That's how you say it. You're from Turkey. She's
correct.
From Turkey. Mm-hmm. We all call her Elif. You say...
Elif.
Elif. Would you prefer that we could pronounce your name the way you Turks do?
I think it's going to get butchered. So
right. So we'll call
not.
You Elif as opposed to Elif. Well, welcome to the show. You have kids, family in Western Springs. You're
yes.
Elif's cousin. You're taking a little time away from the family in Chicago and coming
yes.
out here.
Elif was kind enough to invite me along for a few days with her. And so I got away from the cold 41 degrees that they just talked about. And here I am. This
you
is
just
beautiful.
Arrived. You haven't been with us all week. You've just been here.
I just got here.
First thing you did was grab a taco.
And then the bird got it.
You know, what are those animals again? The other ones, the steel hamburgers?
Quatis?
Quatis? Those things that look like there's animals around here that
look like raccoons. Yeah, I saw those too.
With long monkey tails. Aren't they delightful looking? And one of our listeners was sitting there with a hamburger, and the Quati walked up and said, "This will be mine now." Took a right out of her hand and walked away. But a bird stole your taco.
Yeah, it did.
Out of your hand?
No, it was on my plate. I happened to just turn around and
literally landed. Well, I was eating breakfast on one of the patios here, and so I was having some eggs and some fruit, and I had a little bit of a donut. And the birds see the donut. I don't think they go after the fruit. They don't go after the eggs. But they see donut. And I look, and it's like an episode of The Birds. There's a bunch of them lined up on the
Finding
rail
Nemo
right
open.
Next to me. And I'm like, they're waiting for me to turn. And they're advancing. They're hopping onto the backs of chairs. They're getting closer. So finally, I wrap my donut in a towel and put it or under a napkin and put it under the table. And then when I wanted it, I would sneak a little because I was afraid I was going to get descended upon. And maybe that was a good idea. You lost your taco.
I lost. Sorry. Yes, I did. That's all right.
Well,
did
welcome
you replace
to.
It?
Did you get another taco then?
There were two on my plate. I just ate what was left. And
yeah.
It was fine.
Decided. Don't push your luck.
Yeah.
I heard it's a very good taco.
It was delicious. It was very nice.
I hear the beverages are here. Are good here too. I hope you get a chance to avail yourself of all of that.
My
well,
next,
welcome.
Next target. Thank
it's
you
nice
so much.
It's nice to see Elif's cousin. Yay! Thanks for saying hi. How about that? What fun for you all. I just wanted to mention a couple of things. One was, maybe this is in your wheelhouse, Violetta. Did you see the story about the Southwest Airlines flight that they had to turn around? Does that ring a bell, Violetta? Let me see here.
No?
Stand by. Hold on. Listen to this. Found it. It says here, Southwest Airlines flight traveling from Seattle to Dallas was forced to turn around in mid-flight after officials realized that a human heart had been left on board. A Southwest Airlines flight traveling from Seattle to Dallas was forced to turn around. Passengers were shocked when the captain explained that the heart was intended for delivery to a Seattle hospital after a previous flight from Sacramento. Seattle Times reported. A Southwest spokesperson said it was absolutely necessary to get the cargo back as quickly as possible. Nothing is more important to us than the safety of our customers and the safe delivery of our cargo, a spokesperson for the airline said. Concerned passengers used their cell phones to learn that a human heart had only hours to remain viable for a transplant. The heart had traveled from California to Washington State, across Idaho, and back to Washington. The Southwest flight spent about 3 hours in the air before landing back at SeaTac Airport. One doctor traveling on the flight told the paper that while everyone aboard was happy to save a life, he thought the incident was a horrific story of gross negligence. That doesn't answer all the questions we have, but if I understand correctly, somebody was transporting the heart? I would imagine you don't just get it a ticket or put it in the cargo bay. So this is why I'm not a heart surgeon or the guy that travels with organs. Don't hire me for that job because I'm quite capable of screwing this up. But doesn't it sound like...
It seems like there would be certain things set up to ensure exactly this would not happen.
Well,
or could
only,
not happen. How could
right,
it happen? Because, you forgot it under the seat?
Well, why? But like, have you done that before? Forgotten something on
not
a plane,
heart.
A train, or an automobile?
Not a heart.
Whenever I get out of an Uber or a cab, I always stop and turn around and look inside to make sure I haven't left my
I
phone.
I do a phone check anytime I leave anywhere because I always used to lose my phone. I mean,
absolutely.
I still do, but...
I can understand how people do it, and I'll bet you have a story at home about the time you forgot the thing. Like what, and I don't know what it is. 312-981-7200.
There was one night that I was traveling around town with four friends, and all four of us forgot something in different parts of the night.
Oh, really?
It was horrendous. The first person forgot their phone at the restaurant we were at. The next person forgot it in the Uber. Then I left my purse at the club, and I had to go back.
That's the worst feeling in the world, isn't it? Because you don't know if you're going to get it back.
And mine was just,
cancel
it was still,
your things.
Yeah. It was still just sitting there, though. It was great.
Yeah. now that you mention it, last Friday when Brenda and I went to the Chris Kindle Market downtown, we got those hot wine drinks. They're $10 a drink, but they come in the most adorable Chicago, like, heart-shaped mugs.
The little boot.
Is that what it is? Yeah, it's a really cute little mug, and so you get the hot wine. It's great, and they're nice little souvenirs. Then we went to Pettorino's nearby to kind of warm up and have lunch. I set them on the table. We're in the cab heading back towards the radio station, and I go, oh, crap. I know exactly where the mugs are. Called Pettorino's. They said, we've got them. Nobody go claim them. They're Pettorino's and they're mine. And I've been gone all week, so nobody go there. I'm going to go get them on Monday. But that happens all the time. But if you're on a plane and the only reason you're on the plane is to take the human heart to somebody who needs the heart, how do you get off the plane? You didn't know, you know, like what? I don't know how that happens. I don't know how that happens.
I wonder what sort of training you have to go through to have that responsibility.
Well, I would imagine it's pretty basic. Okay, here's the deal. Your job is to get on planes and take things from A to B. When you get off the plane, let's rehearse, get the thing. Now you're done rehearsing. You're done trained.
Or
you're
better trained. Yet, how much does that person get paid?
Yeah. I would imagine a fair amount. I mean, it's a human heart. And I thought at first it would be like... for research or, you know, for students to dissect. But no, this is harvested for a transplant. Mm-hmm. Now it's flying back and forth between the wrong cities. Then the captain has to come on. And if I'm the captain, I don't think I tell people. I don't know what the obligation of the captain is.
It's probably the one of the few circumstances that you wouldn't be upset while your plane is turning around.
Right. So you're halfway to where you got to go. The captain comes on and says, attention, everybody. This is up at the flight deck. This is your captain speaking. And we're going to turn around and ruin all your plans because you're halfway to Tacoma. To San Clemente, wherever you're going. We're going to turn around and go back to where you started. And we're going to just pause for a while, and then we're going to do it all over again. Some of you are going to miss your connections, your meetings. It's going to ruin your day and maybe your whole week. Thanks for flying Southwest. I don't think the captain should ever lie and say it's mechanical or weather-related.
No, he could still say medical emergency.
He could say medical emergency, right? Okay, good idea. Bill Murdoch, our engineer, said just say medical emergency, and you don't need to be any more specific. But it sounds like he said we have a human heart in row 14, seat 3. And... ain't nobody in seat 4 or 5 next to it, so we're going to run that baby back to Seattle and see if anybody needs it. I don't think you should be doing that.
But why not?
What? I don't know. I don't know why not. Maybe because it just seems so grossly negligent. And frankly, I don't want to be involved in any operation that forgot to take a heart off, right? Like...
Right, but that's not Southwest's problem.
I know.
It's not,
I think
I don't think they would have been honest if it was their issue that they were being honest about.
Right, then they say medical emergency.
Yeah, it's easy to say, hey, this huge problem just occurred, and we have nothing to do with it, but we're going to correct it.
Yeah. We flew from Barcelona to New York. We finished a wonderful week-long vacation in Europe with Kelly Cruises. In fact, there's still room to travel with us when we go from Paris up and down the Seine to Normandy and back. We're going to do that in August of the next year. KellyCruises.com. Hello. So on one of our previous trips, I was on a flight, leaving at a different flight from Brenda and some of the other travelers, flying from Barcelona to New York and then New York back to Chicago. It's an eight-hour flight. We were 4 hours and a minute into it. And the captain comes on and says, "Is the captain up at the flight deck?" And we're one of our passengers is ill, and we have to make a decision. And rather than going the next 3 hours and 59 minutes to New York, the person's from Spain, and they want to go to a Spanish hospital. So we're going to turn the plane around and fly back to Spain. So it was 8 hours on the plane. We land. We sit there for about an hour. They say, "We're going to refuel, and then we'll just get you right back off, like we're going to the mall." And then by the time they got the plane refueled, the amount of time that the crew could be on that flight had lapsed. So now we had enough gas, but we didn't have enough travel time for the crew. So I said, "Well, you guys fly it as long as you can, and I'll take it from there. Let's go." They said, "Nope." So then we stayed in a hotel that night. But, I mean, we were 4 hours in when they announced that somebody two seats behind me was having what looked like a coronary attack, and they had to fly him back. So, you're like, "All right, well, you're having a heart attack, but this is really inconvenient. Okay, take him back to Spain." So they did. The medical crew came on, put him in a stretcher, and wheeled him out. Next day, we all get on the plane. He's sitting there. I'm like, "Dude, I'm glad you're alive, but we're a little ticked that we thought you were going to die yesterday. If I were you, I wouldn't be sitting anywhere near us," because it really did kind of cramp our style. It's a tough call. I give him that. It's $250. What do I have here, Ms. Garris? It said, blah, 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 yeah, lots of text messages here. All right, we'll get to some of your last thoughts on this fascinating topic in a minute. It's 250. This is WGN. Boy, the breeze has really picked up here, hasn't it? 254 on WGN. This is John Williams. But don't worry, we're going to soldier on. The Midwestern University Multispecialty Clinic in Downers Grove offers a comprehensive, patient-centered healthcare experience at their dental institute, the Family Institute, the medicine clinic there, the speech-language institute, the physical therapy institute, the eye institute. At these clinics, you'll receive exceptional care from a team of highly qualified faculty and students. Learn more at mwuclinics.com or call 630-743-4500. Hey, Bill, it sounds like I'm getting a little more bounce in here. Are all the other mics off, or why does this room sound a little different? 630-743-4500. The Midwestern University Clinic is your family's home for health care. 254 on WGN. Put that there. And let's talk to, is that Lucy on line two? Hey, Lucy, this is John. You're on WGN.
Hey,
what's up, Lucy? Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know, my husband is a captain for American Airlines, and he has flown organ parts probably 6-7 times in the last 25 years of his career. They come on the airplane with just in a cooler. Usually somebody from the donating hospital brings them down with the gate agent. They either ride with him in the cockpit or right there in the first class coat closet when the airplane lands. Somebody from the accepting hospital, same thing, comes down with the agent, takes the cooler off, and goes away.
Wow.
So it's not like somebody rides with him. It's not like somebody's sitting in the seat next door.
It's in the luggage compartment in first
somebody
class.
Somebody blew it. The airplane took off. They realize it. They get a hold of Southwest plane tracking. They notify the captain in the air, and he turns the plane around.
I'm envisioning somebody at the luggage bay waiting for it to come around,
no,
come around, come
no,
around. It's not coming around.
No, every time he's flown, it's rode right up in the cockpit with him.
But I'm still amazed. I mean, somebody just texted to us, Lucy, and they said, "Hey, John, the surgery costs like $300,000. Why wouldn't they hire a courier or, for that matter, buy a plane ticket and have somebody ride with that box? I know the staff's charged with that, but if I was waiting for a heart.
The courier is part of the thing, but, you know, somebody could have got held up in traffic, a car wreck, or for some reason.
No, but you're saying that that human heart, yeah, ready for transplant, doesn't fly with a human being. It doesn't.
No, it was just he's flown hearts, kidneys, eyeballs, and a couple other things. And he said it's always just riding with him.
Oh, man.
It's just a regular cooler. He said you wouldn't even know it was a medical
Yeah, if you just had a ham sandwich in there, for that matter. That's amazing.
Yep.
Lucy, I appreciate your help. Thank you for the phone call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Have a good day. 256 going on 57. That's its job. This is WGN. We've got the stories that matter from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. And a hello to Rowan Anna coming up on WGN. Turn on my mic. Hey, thank you, Krista Flores and Ro Coleman back at WGN Radio Studios. Thank you, Bill Murdoch and Elif Garris and Sarah Thiemann from WGN Radio staff here at our broadcast bay. We're at the Iberostar Resort in Riviera Maya. We are having a great time. This is the wrap-up of our day four of Socks on the Beach with Apple Vacations and the Chicago White Sox. Also, just another shout-out to a couple of our travel partners. If you think this is fun, you can go with me with my friends from Kelly Cruises. That'll be in August to Paris, up and down the Seine, to Normandy on the 75th anniversary of D-Day. And prior to that, Steve Bertrand Travel. Visit SteveBertrandTravel.com because in April, Brenda and I are leading a group to London and to Scotland. Does that sound like fun? It does to me. Okay, here's a quick note from our friends at the Joint Relief Institute. The